I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, as usual, I think you're going to get an earful of information coming your way this evening. We're going to be talking about the huge issues that are facing all of us with respect to a health crisis. And also, we'll be getting into a lot of information concerning some of the mines and pitfalls that are out there so that our ET Yoga listeners on a spiritual journey can get some good tips on how to avoid and deal with some of those issues. And as well, what's been popular lately on ET Yoga is a little wisdom from Sri Swami Satchidananda and from his classical book, The Essential Teachings of Swami Satchidananda, entitled To Know Yourself. But before we get into all of that, I'd like to kick off the program in the usual manner. And that's where we do a little bit of Japa Yoga, kind of sets the tone and the frequency for the rest of the program. And that will be led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om.
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda, one of my spiritual teachers, and he was the founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes, and that yoga was a combination of six different branches of yoga. And speaking of yoga, on ET Yoga, it's used to mean union of you and your higher self. And although in North America, yoga has become more associated with the hatha yoga or the asanas and the pranayams or breathing exercises, the true yoga is really about self-realization and not about postures. And Satchidananda, one of my main spiritual teachers, for those new to ET Yoga, the other ones would be Sri Ramana Maharshi and Paramahansa Yogananda, whom I consider the higher echelon teachers, and I also go back to the days of Baba Ram Das, who I first acquired information concerning the Who Am I technique, which I offer at the end of every program. And years and years ago, I also used to do the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation at the end of the programs. So those would be the two techniques that I've tried to share with ET Yoga listeners. Now, with respect to the ET Yoga listening audience, I certainly want to pass on my appreciation and gratitude to our audience just for being you, because you're already making the major difference on this planet just by being you, and others become aware of the difference you're already making when you're doing your passion. And in addition to that, I mean, the average people on the street, I'm sure they don't even know what the concept of self-realization is. Most of the people on the street don't know they have a higher self. Most of the people on the street don't know that their thoughts, their beliefs, their emotions, and their definitions create the outer reality that they experience in this dimension. And that you can't experience anything in this dimension unless you're a frequency match for that. Everything's a frequency, and everything we experience is a frequency, and we must be the vibration of that frequency in order to have that experience. And I'm certain that the vast majority of the ET Yoga listening audience is aware of those factors and aware of those, that those factors exist. And to my way of thinking, going back to when I used to do some work with creating a non-smoking program for teenagers called Kick Butt up in Canada, it was obvious to me that the first thing you needed to know was that there was the possibility of quitting smoking before you actually attained the realization of that success. And similarly, I would imagine that although there's probably exceptions to every rule, almost everyone who becomes self-realized is aware of the possibility first. And another word that is beyond the grasp of most of the mainstream population is the word ascension. And we are in the midst of an ascension process. And from what I've heard most recently, the numbers seem down a bit from what I used to understand, and I don't think it's all about numbers. But at the same time, I've heard that the number is around 300,000. And even so, 300,000 is still a significant number. And for those who are interested in that ascension process, the biggest tip I can give people related to that comes from the late Dolores Cannon, as well as several other current teachers who give the advice that one of the best things you can do is to let go of the past. It's the hanging on to these old emotional issues that will keep one at a lower frequency. And one of the techniques or ideas or concepts that helps one to be able to do that more successfully is understanding that we are creators of our own reality. And if you understand that you're the one creating your experiences, then there's nobody else to blame. And this whole concept about blame, complaint, and victim, and justification of circumstances are all signposts of victimhood thinking. And it's not even that we're to blame either, because that's just another form of victimhood. Self-realization and the whole concept of ascension are clearly tied together as a spiritual journey and a spiritual concept. And it's really heartwarming to know that more and more people are tuning in to ET Yoga. More and more people are emailing me, and I much appreciate hearing from you. I've been out of the country for the last 3 months, and belated apologies for being late in getting back to some of those emails, but I'm now going to be up to date, and you can always contact me at paperfungo, PAPERFUNGO, at yahoo.ca. And if you're a new listener to ET Yoga, I highly suggest you have a paper and pencil handy, because there'll be lots of information coming your way, lots of avenues to research after the programs. And if things are going too fast and you miss being able to write things down, you can always go to the archives of this program. And the easiest way I know to do that is go to my website, etyoga.com. And on the main page, there's a button there called Radio Archives. And all you do is hit that one button, and it'll take you to about the last 10 programs. And eventually, and you could actually search back, you know, going back all the way to like the last 10 years. But the bottom line is that you can find this program. It's listed by the date of the program. And you can then, you know, stop the program whatever point you like and make optimum use of the information coming your way. Many of the ET Yoga listeners have told me that this is what they do. And a lot of listeners listen to the program multiple times. I really... really like to hear from you. Like, and if there's something that's being presented on this program that's an idea, a concept, a technique, and you're having success with that, there's nothing makes my week more than hearing about your successes. So please feel free to email me, and as an ET Yoga listener with no strings attached, you can email me anytime with a question you have about any of the topics that I bring up on the show. And I will get back to you, and I will give you my opinion. So please feel free to make use of that. And as I said, there's no strings attached. There's no charge. There's no, I mean, this is not what this is about. This is about, you know, sharing information concerning a spiritual journey. And ET Yoga, in my opinion, I call it the yoga of belief. Because the bottom line is, what you believe is. And the combination of ET and yoga comes about because some of the advanced information that's been channeled to us from multiple ET civilizations enhances our spiritual journeys and gives us more information so that we're able to be more of who we are, and ties in and supports a lot of the classical yoga information. In fact, I consider ET Yoga the fast track towards self-realization because of the fact that it does combine the ET information and the classical yoga information as well. Wanted to get into some of that yoga information from Sri Swami Satchidananda, concerning the topic of living in the present. And according to Swamiji, he says that all you do begins within you in the form of a seed. Karma, or the reaction of your actions, forms seeds that are stored in the granary of your mind, the karmic bag. You have to deliver one seed after another. Sometimes you deliver them in groups, group karma, sometimes one by one. The delivery time depends upon the strength of the seed. A more mature seed germinates quickly, so if you do 10 karmas or actions today, maybe the 8th and 6th will appear fruit tomorrow. The 1st and 2nd may not bear fruit for 10 years. You don't always get a reaction in the same order that you perform the actions. It depends on the intensity with which the action is performed and what kind of karma it is. If you eat some undesirable food and soon thereafter put your finger into a candle flame, your first karma is eating the food and your second is putting your finger in the flame. But the second karma brings a result immediately. The first karma may not germinate for 2 or 3 days. Then you'll get a stomach ache. But whatever you have done, you will surely have to accept its reaction, the reward or the insult sometime. No teacher, no guru, no scripture, no temple, no synagogue, no church can purge you of your karma. Even God will not take away your karma. Only by sowing seeds of selfless actions today can you purge it. Knowing about karma can be helpful. If by chance you are insulted or struck by someone for what seems to be no apparent reason, you can reason, probably it's my karma. I must have hurt somebody earlier and escaped from being hurt in return. Now it comes back to me and I accept it. There is no effect without a cause. No one will hurt you if you are really innocent. You may be innocent today, but days before, years before, even the life before, you probably weren't innocent. So you can say to your oppressor, okay, you helped me purge my karma. Thank you so much. You sow a better karma when you don't return hatred with hatred. A fight won't stop a fight. Accepting injury without returning it is highest spiritual practice. It takes strength to do that. Pouring love on hate is like pouring water on fire. Ultimately, you discover how to perform perfect actions without sowing any karma. An act becomes perfect when you do it entirely with joy and without any expectation. All other acts, however wonderful they are, however beautiful they look, however they are labeled, are still imperfect because they affect your mind. You may wonder, what about good acts? That's like a parrot who says, take this dirty steel cage and give me a golden cage. It looks pretty, but it's still a cage. Anything done with expectation will bind you. The cause of birth and death is your karma, actions done expecting something in return. Of course, it's not easy to renounce both the bad and good right away. So in the beginning, at least, we are advised to overcome bad actions by doing things for the sake of merit and virtue. However, to be truly free, we must act without any expectation, renouncing both the bad and the good fruits of our actions. That's karma yoga. We do everything for the sake of God or the sake of humanity. We expect nothing in return, and whatever we do is done perfectly as a service to God because we have no anxieties about future results. Most people act in their own best interests. The very idea of future benefits is exciting. People tend to build castles in their minds. But as the Muslim story of Al-Nusr shows, even the mere thought of future benefits can make you lose everything. Once a man named Al-Nusr went to the market where he was given the opportunity to do an ordinary laborer's job by picking up some things, carrying them to another place, and putting them down. He was given $5. That was the most he had ever had in his hand at one time. My goodness, what shall I do, he thought. Let me buy some eggs from this market with these $5. Take them home to my village and sell them. So he bought the eggs, arranged them in a well-padded basket, put the basket on his head, and began walking home. After a while, he became a little tired, and he sat down to rest with the package nearby. Even on his way, he had some dreaming. When I get back, I'll sell these in my little village where they don't have such fine eggs. I can easily sell these for double the price and make $10, a 100% profit. He was so excited by this prospect that he got up and walked until he got tired again. And again he put the basket down in front of him and leaned back to rest, continuing to dream. With the $10, I'll return to the market and get $10 worth of eggs, return to the village, sell them, and get $20. But with that $20, I won't buy eggs. That's menial business. I'll buy something more desired in the town and return and sell it, and maybe for triple this time, because with eggs, I can only make 100%. If I buy some cosmetics, I can easily make 300% or 400%. He sat there leaning against a tree with the basket near and continued to dream. In his dream, he very soon made several thousand dollars. He became a rich man, and he said, "Now that I'm really very rich, I can't just live alone. Naturally, I should look for a beautiful girl to marry, and no doubt when they all see how wealthy I am, Miristar, the richest man in town, will come and offer his lovely daughter to me. Then after a little hesitation on my part, I will marry her. Then, of course, she'll give me a nice baby, and when I come from my office, she will bring the baby to me to play with. Sometimes I might come home a little tired, and if she brings the baby, I'll just say, 'Oh, I'm too tired. I don't want the baby now. Take him away.' If she says, 'No, please be with him now,' and insists, I will insist too. 'No, no, no, I'm too tired.' If she continues to insist, I'll just kick her out, like this." And Alnisar kicked so hard that his foot went into the basket of eggs and broke them. That's the story of Alnisar. By seeking benefits in the future, we can't live well in the present. I'm not saying building castles in the sky is never good at all. If you build constructive castles with good ideas, just one step at a time, it can be useful to you. A little expectation is good for your motivation, but don't insist on some personal benefit, or you will be easily disappointed and frustrated. As the beautiful hymn says, "Just one step is enough for me. Let me not go all the way. Just show me the next couple of steps, and when I go there, I'll be ready to see further." The joy of doing a job well is the best reward. Nobody can take that satisfaction away from you. If you wait to be satisfied by results, you're certainly going to be dissatisfied. That's why in many situations, no matter how small or large, people become disturbed and unhappy as they move toward their objective. If you're ever disturbed by such emotion or by the excitement of anticipation, know that you are not being a karma yogi at that moment. The karma yogi acts without attachment to the fruits of his labor. He performs actions just for the joy of performing them, not for later benefits. His mind is in the present, and his actions are perfect. His service is for God or of humanity. So the karma yogi must pay even more attention to detail than the most miserly businessman does to his business. He must do a job 10 times better than the person who is sowing seeds of karma. People who act with their minds on the future benefits don't even think about what they're doing. They thus lose efficiency. Go slow, be steady. If you think fast, you'll lose all your power. Don't even think about the fruits. If some fruit comes to you, you may certainly taste it, but don't reach for it. Do one thing at a time. Concentrate your efforts. And that is wisdom from Sri Swami Satchidananda, from the essential teachings of Sri Swami Satchidananda, and the book entitled To Know Yourself. I guess at this point, I better toss in my disclaimer in case anybody gets really antsy out there. This program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're new to ET Yoga, you'll also know that I really applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical and big pharma, as as much as humanly possible. And I appreciate that everyone's circumstance is different, and that the whole idea here is for us to become more self-empowered and independent with respect to not only creating excellent health, but also in dealing with situations as they arise. And it's also based on the fundamental principle as postulated by Barbara Marciniak, channeling Semjaze, the Pleiadian. And that concept is this, that the belief in a vital, healthy existence is one of the wisest beliefs to embrace. And as is true with all beliefs, the bottom line is that you must believe it. A key to vital health is the ability to sustain love for yourself and excitement for life. So there's no need to embrace any fearful labels of disease. Remember that forgiveness is a self-healing act that releases you from the lower vibrations of anger and judgment. Forgiveness permits you to move forward in the game so you can get on with the adventure of living a joyful life. You're capable of accomplishing greatness when you believe in yourself. Remind yourself that you are a co-creator of the multiverse and that life is about change and that everything can be healed if you're willing to do the work. You need to accept responsibility for the ability to create excellent health. As many are discovering, cure is not the overall intent of modern medicine because treatment involving the use of expensive poisons and medicines is far more lucrative than discovering the cause and purpose of the physical and or mental imbalance. And I think that really about covers it when it comes to what is going on with respect to medical care in this country. And I do applaud and take my hat off to those involved with dealing with emergency situations. But the rest of it's just turned into a big business profit situation. And unfortunately, if you work here, they lose you as a customer. So it's all about managing disease. It's about making huge money on barbaric treatments. And I'm not going to go into specifics, but just stating the obvious. And one of the reasons why I totally applaud your efforts to make the effort to create your own health and deal with issues as they arise. Now, I also hear, like, there's always this argument about, well, who are we to, question someone who spent 8 years or whatever studying medicine, like, who are you to, for example, have the opinion that you should not take vaccinations or similar bizarre treatments provided by the medical establishment? Well, it's simple. It's because we were never taught in the educational system to be creative thinkers. And once you become a creative thinker, and the more you know about how the universe works, the more you know about how your body works, and the more you know about how the whole health of your body works, and I found that the two paths cross-connect. In other words, the more you know about self-realization, the more you become self-empowered, the more you know about how the body works, and starts off with a whole concept that thought creates, yeah, and what you believe is. And even our scientists have come up with the same conclusion, that the universe is not only holographic, but it's also fractal, and it's a consciousness is the energy of the universe, and that consciousness has a language of interpretation, and that language of interpretation is belief. So what you believe is. It's also why the placebo effect works, is because you believe it. And the placebo effect is not just true in the medical area. It's true in every area of your life. What you believe is. And we have downloaded a number of beliefs and attitudes from our original caregivers. In fact, we spend about the first 6-7 years of our life downloading those beliefs. And we should give thanks and gratitude, appreciation for those, some of those wonderful ideas that we have downloaded. But at the same time, as a part of maturing into an adult, you need to also be aware of some of those concepts and beliefs that become outmoded and no longer serve us. And the whole medical profession is really people who regurgitate information, much like what is reflected in the educational system, which is to regurgitate information. They really don't want you questioning what's being taught. What they want you to do is regurgitate what's being taught. Similarly, the farther some people go in the educational system, they just become a lot better at regurgitating information. And they don't even think about what they're doing is harmful or not, because they're given a protocol. And if they don't abide by those protocols, then somebody will take their license away and they won't be able to pay for that fancy house they live in or try to pay off the hundreds of thousands of dollars that they owe the system for being taught that regurgitating information. And in many respects, I find some of the narrowest thinkers are some of those with the most advanced, let's say, degrees or pieces of paper. And I've been told that it's only about 6% of the available information on the planet that's even available at higher institutions, such as our colleges. And the medical system was created and controlled by the power structure. And unfortunately, a lot of people are finding out some of the things they're doing to people is not correct and is harmful for them. And it's causing a lot of problems mentally for those who have a conscience. And that's one of the reasons why, yes, you do, as a free thinker, have the right to question and to get involved with creative ways of dealing with some of the health issues, and not just blindly give your power away to the medical establishment. In fact, if you took a flashlight and flashed that light in your mind on all the areas where you give your power away, I'll guarantee you that all those areas where you give your power away is where you're being abused. That's a good exercise for a meditation sometime. Sit down and think about who you give your power to, and then start thinking about how you get abused. As well, when we're talking about just a general attitude with respect to health, of course, being happy is a good thing to connect with that whole concept. And taking a page from Bashar, he would say, be happy. Remember, cause and effect are the same event. You don't have to wait for a reason to be happy in order to know you prefer to be happy. Create the effect of being happy, and you will move into the ideas, and you will create the cause to support the happiness that you have intended, just because you want to, and just because you say so, because you are the creators of your reality, and there doesn't need to be any other why or how. And I really think that's, a concept that we need to really take a look at in our lives, because you don't have to have a reason. You just have to just create the effect. And talking about this major health crisis that I'm noting, I remember back in the 60s, and I think I heard a statistic that something like 70% of the population was healthy, and I thought like 2% was had issues. I'm going to guess. I don't know what the statistics are. It's probably reversed now. Personally, I've never seen anything like what's going on out there in the world. The many people that I know, how many are having huge health issues? And I'm not going to be talking about anything that relates to cures, but I'm going to mention some things that maybe people need to just look into if they have certain conditions. For example, if you're a person with Alzheimer's, you might want to look into the concept of coconut oil. So I'm just giving little hints here along the line. That's all they are, hints. If you got a problem with diabetes, you might want to look into Jim Humble's Miracle Mineral Supplement. There's certain types of ailments out there that tend to be more prevalent now, such as things like autism. You might want to look into the possible cause by in the way the Pleiadians, through Barbara Marciniak, discussed that the two major factors contributing to autism are the mother being too close to technology, which affects the fetus, as well as immunization shots. An interesting concept to research, or to research the effects of apricot seeds. Check out G. Edward Griffin and his information concerning apricot seeds. There are many, many things in our society that are very, very beneficial because they are natural products. And in my opinion, and many others, there is a natural product that can relate to any physical issue. I remember a while back, probably it's been about 4 years or so now, Dr. Pete Peterson was on Project Camelot, and he stated that he had technology that basically they measured your body's frequencies from the meridian points, much like in the acupuncture system, and that according to him that his system would identify what natural product and in what quantity would be useful to deal with any type of physical ailment. That's from Dr. Pete Peterson. Suggest to check out his interview at Project Camelot. There are many things in this world, and what I see is this total push towards trying to even ban natural homeopathic remedies. Takes away profit from the big pharma and big medical. I think that it really behooves us to have an open mind with respect to possible ways that we can alleviate issues without turning our power over to that system. And my best advice to anyone starting out would be don't get involved with these people in the first place. Even the side effects of pills over a course of time, and I'm seeing this with a lot of my friends, the side effects are sometimes worse than what the pills purported to assist you with. And by the way, the cat's been out of the bag for a long time now with respect to this, what I call a fake or pseudo medical system. If you look up the world's first medicineless hospital and Google search that, you'll find that in Beijing, China, there was a Qigong center there that dealt with 250,000 people over a 10-year period with an 85% success rate, and they utilized no operations and no pharmaceutical drugs. So tell me, is that a falsehood? Or was that just all made up? Or is it now, is it possible, isn't there the knowledge out there to achieve such a fantastic way of dealing with disease? And the answer is clearly it is, and it's been proven. It was also this same Qigong hospital where Greg Braden went over and monitored a woman from the United States who had an inoperable tumor. And three practitioners at that Qigong hospital disintegrated and dissolved her tumor in about 3 minutes. And you can look that up on YouTube as well. It's a big eye-opener for a lot of people. I was really thrilled when I first saw this published in the YouTube version because they even take a video of the tumor dissolving so you can even watch it dissolve. And if you don't believe that is happening, or you think that's some kind of trick or whatever, well, you know, there are just people out there that wouldn't believe anything. So that's fine. You're welcome to your opinion. But the fact is that this can happen. It's been done so often over there that it's not even known as a treatment. It's more of a technology. In the West here, we'd consider that a miracle. But it just goes to show you how blind most of the population is with what's truly possible. And one of the things I became aware that of this type of healing process a long time ago, and it was the first that I had ever seen a physical proof of what's possible. And in my point of view is there's nothing that's impossible. You know, if the only limits you have are the limits you place upon your own beliefs, that's it. Because belief's everything. And it really behooves us to grab a piece of paper and pencil and write down what we think our beliefs are. Pick a category, what you believe about money, what you believe about health, what you believe about certain topics that you're interested in. And then write down what you think your beliefs are under those categories. And see, and maybe you even have conflicting beliefs, but write down your beliefs. And then see where that takes you in terms of your own inner ability to figure things out. And certainly, the more we become self-empowered, then the more that we understand. Now, at my website at etyoga.com, I have a download there which is called the Root Cause of Disease. And the Root Cause of Disease basically deals with about nine different concepts. And those concepts are clearly articulated in that download. And that's a free download, no strings attached. I don't track your email or your, you know, anything like that, your address. It's just a free download. And if you understand, this is where this whole idea is that the more you understand how the universe works, the more you understand how your body works, the more you understand how your health works and how you can start to utilize ideas to deal with situations as they arise. And I am becoming more and more aware of more and more people who have distanced themselves totally from mainstream medical and are very happy for it. And I would highly suggest that it's a concept to explore. Now, I've come across as well some products lately that I think are worth passing on to people that are the results of some amazing research. One of those products is Amrit Kalash. That's Amritkalash. And this is from Dr. Yuki Nina, Nina. He's a Japanese researcher. And he studied more than 500 different antioxidants over a period of 30 years. And he found the most powerful and effective antioxidant of all those tested is an ancient Ayurvedic herbal preparation called Amrit Kalash. And research shows that the antioxidant capabilities of Amrit Kalash are at least 25,000 times more powerful than that of vitamin C and E. Taking it is like supplying you with a Star Wars deflective shield, and this astounding ambrosia is composed of 44 different herbs and fruits that seem to work synergistically in enhancing the natural strength of one another's antioxidants. And to me, this is just truly amazing. And, of course, if modern research were to separate all those 44 different things, they'd probably find it wouldn't do anything. But when they're 44 all together, it produces this amazing effect. Now, another one of the products is a product called Haritaki. That's Haritaki. And it's called the drink of the gods, according to Swami Nithyananda. And this wonder medicine removes the body's toxins in a natural way makes one more energetic. It also purifies the blood, removes fat residues from the arteries and veins. It heals diabetes by diabetes, hypertension, and heart problems, and it helps the vision to become sharp. And no wonder, it provides the body with 300% more oxygen, and taking it is equivalent to 2 hours of pranayams. So this is another product that I want to toss out there. And just amazing stuff that's, that's available to us in order to boost our immune systems. And one of the things that I have come across with most of the people that are suffering from cancer is, first off, they have low vitamin D. Vitamin D comes from sunlight, and you need sunlight. And it's also the vitamin D is the trigger to the immune system. These people also have acidic conditions. So the best way to alkaline your body that I know of, and they're very easy, is just take a lemon or a lime and mix it with a little bit of water and drink that first thing in the morning. It'll alkaline your system. People, they're stuffing themselves with sugar. Sugar is the environment that cancer thrives in. These are just common sense things that people can do that don't, you know, they don't really cost, you know, hardly anything. Our whole society is based on this diet. I don't know. People in Europe, I was just there for 3 months. A lot of people I'm talking to over in Europe, they can't even believe the food that's eaten in America. This GMO garbage that they pass off as food. If you do any research at all about GMO'd food, you're going to find out that it's highly harmful to your organs, and I think it's third generation rats. They can't reproduce. I mean, it's insane. And most of Europe has been blocking GMO'd foods for a long time, but in America, it's just prevalent. Like 90% of the corn, 90% of the potatoes, soy crops. I mean, it's most of the food we eat here is total garbage. And you can still eat good in America, but you need to, you know, be wise and shop around and eat as much organic as possible. And even though organic isn't true organic, I used to make this saying is that if someone's going to pee in your cup, you want them to pee a little bit or a lot. It may not be perfect, but it's the best choice we have is organic food. The basis of good health, according to Bashar, according to a lot of ET groups, is simple. Simple basics, common knowledge. Drink pure water. Don't drink the garbage that they call with the fluoride in it. It's just toxic waste. It provides no positive benefit. You need to get oxygenate your system. The best way to do that is through pranayams, yogic breathing exercises. Get exercise. Lighten up your load with respect to stress. Detox your body. And get off the meats. Those are the six basic foundational components of health. And I always throw in a seventh, which is get plenty of sunlight. The high road to healing, in my opinion, number one is monatomic elements. Go study the subject. Go on the internet. Study David Hudson lectures 1, 2, and 3. You'll learn an amazing story about monatomics, the topic nobody knows anything about. Second, sun gazing. Check it out. Hira Ratan Manek, H-I-R-A. R-A-T-A-N, Manek, M-A-N-E-K. There's a stage in the sun-gazing process where physical diseases disappear. Third, the healing from the sound healing from Qigong. That's X-I-G-O-N-G. And I can suggest their master Ming Tan Gu, that's G-U. And he, by the way, was one of the teachers at the Beijing Qigong Hospital that dealt with all those people and had success rates off the charts. And after that situation got shut down by government, these guys came to the West, and they're over here teaching us how to do the Qigong and the Qigong healing sounds. And to me, that's a fast track, really, to healing, those three particular techniques. And I can't emphasize how important water is. Water is the reflector of consciousness. In the water Berkey filter, I have an Andara crystal. That's A-N-D-A-R-A. Andara crystals are really amazing. I've had so many of listeners to ET Yoga email me about how happy they are that they got involved with Andara. The Andara crystals come from monatomic fields, and it's a high level of consciousness in a crystal form, and probably the highest frequency I know on the planet. I'd like to, at this point in time, give my best wishes towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And in closing, I'll share with you the Who Am I technique, which is called the Vichara. It was V-I-C-H-A-R-A. It was taught by Sri Ramana Maharshi. And basically, you focus your full attention in your ajna center, your third eye area, and you become that spot. And when you become that spot with your full consciousness, then you ask the question, who am I? And if you do that a number of times, you'll feel a certain different sensations. And then the suggestion would be, when you're totally focused and you become that spot, then you state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.